theater had some nice new seats.
Yeah, that's the first time you sat in those, huh?
Yeah, it was pretty comfortable.
Mm-hmm. They're nice.
It's kind of hard. I felt more stiff than usual, though, when I got out of it, doing all that recliner.
Very
kind of
cushy, sinky seats.
Yeah, so I was like, ugh.
Yeah, you get to put your feet up. Mm-hmm. There's enough armrest room for two.
I wish there was a better place to put my popcorn, because it's like I can't even put it under my seat now.
Yeah, that's true. I had like this empty bag, and I was like, where's this go? Yeah. It just stays in my lap.
Transition. Hello, and welcome to the Exploding Barrel podcast on this night of December 14th, 2017. I'm Mike Minotti, and joined by my brother AJ.
Hello.
It's so funny, it's like, yeah, I always are like, yeah, this movie comes out on the 15th, but like...
It comes out on the 14th, I know.
It really does. I mean, we went to a 6 o'clock showing, right?
Right.
The release date is just the 14th.
Yeah, at this point in fact.
It is funny, so yeah. So yeah, we saw Star Wars, The Last Jedi. I was supposed to say The Good Jedi.
Different movie.
Yeah. So this is our spoiler episode on that. There's no non-spoiler section. We're just gonna talk about that.
I'll say real quick. The Hearthstone expansion is good. I wish that there were rewards for dungeon runs, and the Destiny expansion was fine.
Yeah, Destiny expansion is pretty fine, huh?
It's there.
It's a thing. I
think I
guess.
Bungie still has no idea what their fans want, but anyway, that's.
We can talk about it a little bit when we're done with Star Wars.
Yeah, sure. But who's gonna listen?
I mean, I assume anyone who listens to the show is going to see a Star Wars movie at some point, so just don't listen to this until you see the Star Wars movie.
That's true. Okay, so, Spoilers begin...
Now. I'm Rey's parents.
That's not a spoiler. We knew that all along.
All right, so I thought this was a good movie.
This was a phenomenal movie.
It's not phenomenal. We'll get into it.
Okay. You'll be happy to know that Jessica and I identified one major flaw that we did not like.
What's that?
Do you want to just do it now?
Mm-hmm.
Laura Dern.
Who's Laura Dern?
Purple hair.
Yeah.
Here's my issue. Several. So, she had this, like, secret plan, and she was super good the whole time. Why'd it have to be a secret? Why couldn't everyone know?
No,
we're going to go to that planet over there,
guys. I was kind of going online to judge some internet reactions to this before we started.
Mm-hmm.
That is kind of one of the things, is like, so much of this, so many bad things could have just been avoided if people talked to each other. Specifically that, like, hey, here's the plan, we're going to this base, it's not a secret, we're all together, yeah, we're gonna go to this base, and they won't be able to detect us going, so don't do anything crazy, Poe Dameron.
Yeah, don't send your two friends off on a weird mission to another planet.
Yeah, in a more general sense, I think all the Rey... Luke Skywalker and Kylo Ren stuff was a slam dunk.
Oh, yeah.
I was not as sold on Finn, Rose, and Lace.
Well, like, my other issue with Laura Dern is, like, her kind of farewell to Leia felt very heavy, and I don't know why.
Yeah, no, I was trying to think,
do we, is she someone that we don't, like, do what's we happening? Know I was like, is?
Was she in another movie or something? I was like... They should have just kept Admiral Ackbar alive and let him do this stuff.
Yeah.
Or something. But yeah, it was...
I told Jessica we could go into weird spin-off fan theory and fanfic. Like, that should have been Lando.
Well...
This weird guy who shows up and everyone else is like, oh, this guy, and we know who he is, but like, he's being all weird again.
There was part of me that was hoping when they went to Casino Planet, which...
Lando...
That would be Lando.
We knew he wasn't it. They said it, and I was like, maybe it's a work. Maybe he is going to be at this community. He's the guy.
Because there was at least one big surprise like that. That was one of my favorite things. Was the Yoda scene?
Okay, let's. We've said bad things. This might be one of my favorite Star Wars scenes ever. It was so good.
That's kind of the interesting thing with the movie for me. It has some of like the best Star Wars scenes I've seen, and maybe some of the ones that are maybe a bit more questionable too. But that whole scene with. Yoda, and like, I don't know if it was just like CG that they made look like a puppet, if it was a puppet with some CG element.
And that's why it's so brilliant. Yeah. You don't know.
So, I love that. But more important than that, even, was like, more so than CG Yoda, the thing I hated about Yoda in the prequels was that he was suddenly like a monk, very stern, kind of like serious guy. Yeah. Like, and like, he was a goofball in the original trilogy, right?
He could get like, seriously had to.
Yeah, so I really liked that Yoda kind of went back to that form in this.
Well, here's what I love about that scene thematically. Is Luke talks about how the legend of Luke Skywalker had kind of grown out of control and he couldn't live up to that and blah, blah, blah. But I think even he got lost in it a little bit. And you need Yoda to come back and kind of knock him down to earth a little bit. Mm-hmm. And it not only works on Luke, but it works on us as the audience. Because think about the last 2 years. The way Force Awakens ends, there's Luke, he doesn't see anything. Oh my god, Luke Skywalker's back, he's such a badass, yada yada. And we, like, I think we as an audience need to remember, like, yeah, Luke still has stuff to learn.
Yeah, no, I liked everything with Luke. I thought Mark Hamill was really good in that.
Oh, he was so good.
I thought the dynamic with Rey.
He was so good in the movie.
Yeah, it was interesting. Yeah, so I did enjoy all that stuff on, what's their planet?
Takodana. No.
Taco Bell?
No, not Takodana. Shit, I should know this.
I know it's Ireland.
Yes, Skellig Michael, but...
I do like, but anyway, let's not get worked up on that now.
I'm just annoyed that I know this. It's just in my mind.
And I did like that, like, they did still give him a moment with Chewie and with R2-D2. The R2-D2 moment was really cool.
Oh, that was so good. I really with the liked hologram. That was
it was
perfect.
Like, it's one of those things, I bet, like, if you were one of the people who thought, like, The Force Awakens had too many callbacks, maybe you wouldn't like that, but I thought that was neat.
Well, for all of you who were like, ugh, Force Awakens is a remake of New Hope, this weren't no remake of anything. This is so original.
No, yeah, it is kind of funny, because, like, people
well,
it probably...
makes sense, because you had to kind of ease back into it. There hadn't been a Star Wars movie in a long time.
In fact, it was almost more like Return of the Jedi than it was like Empire Strikes Back.
I mean, obviously the stuff with Snoke kind of calls the throne room scenes from Return
Let's
of the Jedi.
Let's talk about Snoke.
I love what they do with Snoke.
I think some people are complaining, and I get the complaint of, who the hell was this guy? Where'd he come from? Now there's, like, there's almost no... And I think the whole Snoke thing was maybe just a mistake in general. Like, because the character didn't really work in Force Awakens for me. He was just kind of the...
It's
like, well, who is this guy? And then this movie doesn't really address that issue. And I don't know if they almost kind of knew it or, like, let's just get rid of him. Which is so weird because, I mean, it's freaking, God, now I'm blanking on that. Yeah, it's Andy Serkis. I'm like, oh, but it's just like such a generic kind of like, I'm the Force bad guy kind of thing. And I still wonder, like, how did this guy do what he do? Like, how did he amass a thing and destroy the Republic? But I thought the death scene was cool, and it was like a neat surprise.
Yeah, and it was so smart the way it's like the way Kylo Ren kind of like tricks him into, like, yeah, he's doing what I want, but it's like, oh, wrong lightsaber. Like, that was so good.
No.
So good.
And it was cool to, like, see Rey and him fight with each other for a bit.
Yeah, that was phenomenal. And what I liked about it is it went far enough along that you think, like, wow, they're going to team up. Like, this is it.
Well,
this is cool. But, like,
there's another one.
Yeah, it's like, well, yeah, what's going to happen in episode 9 that they work together and defeat the First Order?
They're like, I'm pretty sure that he is, in fact, going to, still just, like, take over with all that stuff.
But it was cool that there were just so many shades of gray with him throughout the whole movie.
Now, I want to ask you what I think is probably the most controversial scene for the movie from what I'm, reading online, like, customers would mean not liked too well, and that would be what I see people calling the Mary Poppins scene with Carrie Fisher with Princess Leia.
Oh, the flying! Oh no, I was totally on board. I thought she was dead, and I was like, wow.
Well,
the
twist aspect was neat, and I think some people are like just confused, like, why didn't you kill her off? And you know, they finished the movie. You can't. I think it would have been a bit more awkward to go and change it.
Try somehow edit her out of the other three quarters of the film. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It did look a little, I don't know, Dory, a little weird.
Oh, I was on board. The music swelled up, and I was like, oh, she's not dead. Like, yeah, that was, no, I liked it. Mm-hmm. I liked it a lot, actually.
I loved Luke's kind of force projection thing.
So, like, I had to, like, think back on it, because, like, as it was happening, I was picking up on all these anachronisms that were bothering
me. The one that bothered me was the saber. I was like, oh, this must be his green saber. Then it was the blue one. I'm like... What, they'd make a new blue saber?
Yeah, that's what I told myself. Well, before you ever even turned it on, I saw it. I was like, that lightsaber just got destroyed.
Yeah.
And then I said, well, I guess he made another.
And why, why does his beard not have as much gray in it?
I didn't catch that, but, like, think about it. I was like, oh, he looked like he did in the flashback, because that's what Kylo Ren saw him as last. Yeah, it all came together, and I was like, they totally broadcast that. We just didn't catch it, because... just didn't think of it. Because, yeah, like, and what I like is, they're like, how did he get in? He got in somehow. Well, he didn't. But the thought that if he could do it, we could do it, is what motivated them to find a back exit.
Yeah.
I like that.
It was neat. Just no, the, it was the super whole, cool. And yeah, the whole thing was fun. Like, the way he was taunting him with, like, the shoulder, like,
scrub off. Yeah, it was like, he just totally, I go, and God, that scene where he... There, he's looking at a binary sunset.
That's cool.
The music's playing.
I will say so it was a little weird for me because, like, I was kind of, like, euphoric, like, oh, ha-ha, Luke Skywalker didn't have to die there. Ha-ha, he can be in the next one now. Oh, no, he died anyways.
He didn't necessarily die. He became one with the Force.
There's dying. There's a difference. Okay, he's dead. Subtle difference. Yeah, I expect him to come back as a ghost in the next movie.
He will be in Episode 9. Don't worry.
Get me
don't
wrong.
Worry. Don't worry.
That's the other thing, too, is... And that's probably all to expect, deal with the Carrie Fisher thing, is I expect there to be a much larger, like, gap.
Time. Between... That's a line about how we've lost the general or something.
Right, yeah, like, because, especially with the Resistance being so small in this one, there kind of has to be that time gap for it to build up.
I kind of like that right now the entire the Resistance is just on the Millennium Falcon.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really like that. I like how there's kind of, like the fake ending, but I like how it's kind of the classic, like, here's everybody in a group shot, but, like, they're sitting on the Falcon. Like, that was cool.
I liked that Salt Planet in general. I mean, it looked really cool.
Oh, phenomenal. It's just, phenomenal video.
And I actually... And I know it might almost be cliche at this point. Like, oh, the Millennium Falcon's doing another kind of cavern trenchy thingy. But it was really cool with
and
the salt.
And Chewie was piloting. Yeah, I love that Chewie got to fly the ship.
I just thought that whole, like, kind of salt tunnel underground area thing looked really cool.
And they brought back the music from A New Hope.
They did for a bit there.
Oh, so good.
Casino Planet. Not a big fan.
I like it just because... It does show the kind of aristocratic.
I guess.
Like, I mean, you know, there is that side of the galaxy. We just haven't seen it in the movie yet. So
well,
cool
I mean, sure.
You think
it's, yeah, I guess. It didn't... I mean, it's one of those things, like, it just didn't look very Star Wars-y to me. Like, it almost looked too much like an actual casino, maybe, to me.
I guess, but
so much of what we see in Star Wars is more like the ragtaggy stuff. Mm-hmm. That's why, like, it is weird to see, like, the ritzy, like, casino-y thing. Yeah, again, but, like, kind of going back to the whole, the Finn-Rose plotline, right? Like, it ultimately didn't accomplish anything. Like, they didn't do anything important.
Depends when you look back at the grand scope of the trilogy, what Benicio Del Toro's character ends up doing. I'm sure he'll be back.
Yeah, I actually did like him.
Yeah. I like that stutter he played was actually kind of cool. I liked it.
Yeah, no, but it is kind of shit because, like, the movie was a bit long, and that's not, like, a huge problem, but it bothers me more just because I think maybe some of that stuff could have been a little shorter. Like, it was always kind of weird. Like, let's call... Maz Kanata from the other movie, and I was like, her, like, doing a firefight while they caught her was kind of a bit much. Like,
yeah, it
was a little weird. I was like, we need to make this more exciting. She's why? Oh, it's a union dispute. Oh, okay, sure. But I mean, it was one of the things where that was happening. I was almost like, why are they going back to Luke?
I thought the opening was great. The whole assault on the dreadnought was really, really
now this
well
didn't
done.
Bother me. This was something I was seeing online. Now, did you notice that maybe the movie was a little bit more quippy this time around?
No, more so than the last one.
See, I think it might have been a little bit more quippy, but it doesn't bother me.
No,
but some
I
people,
like quippy.
Some people are like saying, oh, they like Marvel Cinematic Universe-ified it or something.
No, I don't think so. It's not on that level.
No.
Not even close.
I mean, yeah, there's some quippy things. I think like the opening thing with Poe Dameron, like doing that thing with Huxley, which I was
fine
with.
Oh, that was so good. No. And most of the quipping is just Poe Dameron, and that's just kind of his character,
a lot of it's okay.
I mean, the first time we saw him, he does the whole who talks first, you talk first, that, like, that's his character.
Yeah. Phantasma had a little bit more to do. Phasma. But not a ton more to do.
But I thought that fight between them was so good.
No, the fight was pretty cool.
And what made it good was, like, the history between these two characters. That just made it have, like, more weight to it. It was... Oh, that was... I like that scene a lot, actually. I was a big fan.
You know what I liked a lot was Luke's wink to C-3PO for some reason.
Yeah.
I was a big fan of that. I mean, you know, it is silly, but so much of it is like, ah, it's Luke Skywalker, and like he's going to see this character again. And
The reunions are fun.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good. I mean, that's fine. That's what, you know, it's part 8. You're going to have that kind of stuff. Like, it's okay.
Right, exactly, to kind of call
out. So here's a sobering thought. There are no more Skywalkers.
Well, Leia's alive. We just assume she's not for long.
Yeah. And she's a Solo.
Yeah, I guess so.
There's no one with the name Skywalker anymore.
That's interesting. That's actually, that may be my favorite thing. Because I think forever, and like some people even complain about this, but everyone kind of had it in their minds that Rey had to have some kind of important parentage.
And we said 2 years ago, from the beginning, no, she's not one.
I don't even know if I was saying it as like as much of a prediction, but as what I wanted, because I hated that idea.
Yeah.
I hate the idea that you can only be important in a movie if your parents were somebody important in the movies.
Which is what I like about the real ending, where she's like this kid who's like a stable boy, not, has the Force.
And it's fine to do it a bit. It's fine that you have Kylo Ren, but I hate the, like, oh, Rey is also like Obi-Wan's daughter, also just Luke and Leia, Hans and Luke and Hans, Han and Leia. But I hated that, because it's like, she's strong in the Force because of her parents, and like, I don't like the Force as like this inheritance. Mm-hmm. I get as just like that. That was one kind of nice things about that final ending with the kid. You can see like he subtly actually kind of pulls that broom into his hand, mm-hmm. right? Like, yeah, like, you know, anyone could have the Force. Yeah, that's nice. It doesn't matter. You know, not have the super cool person. And they did kind of tease that moment up, like, you know, that you've your parents. They're no one.
Yeah, they like, built it. Yeah. I did like, I was kind of like, you gotta feel Rian Johnson be like, shut up, nerds.
Yeah. Well, it was one of the most nerd things I actually had experienced. A lot of people like, ooh, this shit. I even had a friend tell me that when there's appointments with Rogue One, which I did not like, but I was like saying, yeah, I didn't like Rogue One. He's like, yeah, I know, right? They didn't even tell us who Rey's parents were. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, what? What? No.
That was not this movie's
that's
job.
That's not the problem. But that's like it doesn't matter. Like, it's not about just like, it's not like Luke's parents was like a thing that people were talking about. It was neat because like it came out of nowhere. Like, mm-hmm. oh, it's Darth Vader. It's not like they raised this question in New Hope. They misled
you. They answered it incorrectly. Which I'm sure people are going to say is the case here, that it's a swerve, a play, and then we'll find out that.
Now, yeah, there is like a larger issue that still nags at me, and it was something I used to say about just the expanded universe in general. The notion that, you know, at the end of Episode 6, it's like, yeah, we defeat the Empire, we're all happy, and just it's kind of like, I guess not.
It's a bummer that they don't live happily ever after.
Yeah, it's kind of a bummer. Like, oh, they never mind. They came back and blew everything up, and we're all probably gonna die. It's a bit of a thing, and you know, it's kind of one of those. You know, the franchise must go on. There must be wars in our Star Wars.
Right.
But it is something that like kind of bothers me.
Yes.
But I guess what I'm saying is I did like this movie. I think it had problems. I dislike Rogue One. I don't dislike this. I think I liked Force Awakens more than this, though. I think Force Awakens was a better what's the word I'm looking for?
Pace,
exactly. I think it was pace better. And part of that is because you have kind of a more linear thing.
Yeah, the bad guys and the good guys, just back and forth.
Yeah, and you know, Empire Strikes Back was able to do that kind of the dual storyline thing, maybe a little bit better than this one did, I think. Part of it was that this movie was maybe introducing too many characters. Like, here's Benicio Del Toro, and here's that girl you're talking about, and here's Rose. And there's like all these kind of additions. I was like, I think your cast was actually fine pretty much where it was.
Empire introduced
Lando, that's about it. No, Yoda, actually.
Yeah, Yoda.
I guess.
Boba Fett.
No, sure. Yeah, I guess. But it's just, I don't know. And one thing I missed, and I don't, it's not really a problem, but one of my favorite things about The Force Awakens is the Rey-Finn dynamic, and you just don't really have much of that here.
Yeah, that's true. It's a bummer that they don't reunite until the very end of the movie.
I did kind of laugh when, at the end of the movie, Poe Dameron introduced himself to Rey. I'm like,
oh yeah, Rey. They never actually met.
How funny. I'll tell you what I don't like. Yeah. I don't like this Rose Finn romantic stuff.
No?
First off, it came a little bit out of nowhere for me. And maybe this is me being a bit of a fanboy nerd, but I want Rey and Finn together.
Oh, you're shipping those two?
Yeah, I've shipped them hardcore already in my mind, and I don't like this. None of this.
Maybe we'll have a love triangle in the next one. Wouldn't that be fun?
No. No, I don't think it will. See, it's hard to say, because I was just kind of going through the internets, and it's hard to gauge the reaction times, as long as people are just negative, but it does seem like this might be a mixed reaction.
Which is funny, because the early critical reaction is super positive.
Right, but it seems like that happens, because that happened with Rogue One also, and then, it's, you know, whether you like it, I dislike it, but it is a mixed thing. with that. So yeah,
this is gonna make all the money.
Oh, it's gonna make $1 zillion. That is absolutely for sure.
I will also say that this movie has me now very encouraged at the thought of Rian Johnson gets a crack at an original Star Wars trilogy. I think when you just think of kind of like the technical merits of the film, the way it's shot, the overall story, like he knocked it out of the park, I think.
You want to talk about like some like nerd complaints?
Sure. What do they got?
If you could just shoot a ship at light speed, a ship and destroy it, why don't I just do that all the time?
Because ships are expensive, yo.
Just fire a ship at the Death Star.
Yeah, just go every time you want to go get somebody, just go buy a car and drive it through his house.
Yeah, there you go.
Duh. Although, boy, that was a sweet scene.
It did look
cool.
It's like the
I
no
like
sound.
That these movies can still do special effects that impress me. Mm-hmm. That was one. Yeah, that was really good. What else did the nerds say? What else can I tell them they're wrong about?
BB-8's too powerful now.
Oh, BB-8's fine.
BB-8 beat everyone up. Was it too cute? Was BB too cute? I thought it was funny. I had no problem with that at all. I like it. I'm like, haha, yeah. Get him.
You got him.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
BB-8 piloting an AT-ST? That's great.
I thought that. I had absolutely no problem with that. What else did the...
Bring it, nerds. I will defeat you.
Yeah, they were mostly upset about the Mary Poppins scene, as I call it. The Mary Poppins scene. And kind of things I said where the Finn Rose substitute wasn't as strong as... I think, no, it seems like almost everyone does think that the Luke Rey stuff was pretty...
Oh, it was so good.
Although they did one more of like the... If only people explained, it's like, why didn't Luke just tell them, I'm going to create a diversion, it's not really me, go run away. It's not like he had to hide it from them. I understand her story reasons, kind of why. Like that's kind of why.
Well, again, I think it was planting that seed of hope because she talked about how hope was gone, but then he was the personification of hope, and they needed to believe it was him just as much as Kylo Ren did.
Maybe, but he could still said, "Hey, make sure you leave while I do this." But again, it's a nitpicky thingy.
There's like that shot of like Luke just like standing down a bunch of like giant whatever the new AT-ATs are called.
They did shove in quite a few creatures into this one.
Hey, you gotta sell them toys, man.
Gotta sell that.
You don't like porgs?
You think they're gonna be the four tit like whale cow blue milk toy?
What now? Oh, yeah.
That thing was a little funny.
I thought that was hilarious.
I was like, oh boy. Ice wolves and those things.
Those things are awesome. I like those. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I liked it. I do think there are issues.
Yeah, and there's issues in any movie. I have issues with Force Awakens. I have issues with Empire Strikes Back.
I have less with Force Awakens. But
I just from start to finish, I was just glued to that screen. I was so invested into it. I was completely into the movie.
See, I was a little bit in the middle. I was. Okay, probably at the casino thing, there was a bit where I was getting a little restless. But then I think the final act was really interesting. Kind of once all points converged back, I was getting really into it. I think the one I got the most excited was the salt thing.
Yeah, it's such a good visual because there's so much contrast to it. Mm-hmm. That's what makes it work.
But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see where this ends. I really am curious, like, are there going to be... What do the post-episode 9 movies look like? Because you can't... So in episode 9, they're going to defeat the First Order. Presumably. Like, you can't do this again, right? Where it's like, smoke now, like, shows up, right?
Well, maybe they pull a little bit from the extended universe. Maybe have, who are the extragalactic dudes?
Oh, the Yuuzhan Vong or whatever.
Yeah, like, maybe you go with something like that.
Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, there are things.
There are.
You could also, I mean, maybe that's the time to do, like, a pretty significant time jump where, like, you don't even have these actors.
Right.
Except Anthony Daniels will keep
it. Yeah, he'll be in there somehow or another. But yeah, there is The Last Jedi. 8 of 9.
So. Rey's the last Jedi after all. Oh my gosh. Luke was the last Jedi, but now Rey is.
Rey did even less training than Luke did.
Whenever she picked up them rocks.
She did. That is kind of funny. Like, literally, she had to pick up rocks.
Yeah.
I was amused by that.
Come on, that lightsaber fight against the Knights of Ren, that was so
good. That's cool. I even liked the kind of, like, stick fight that Luke and Rey had.
Yeah. It was fun just to see, like, active Luke Skywalker.
It was. It was cool. Like, hey, Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, it's like, oh, there's a
Luke Skywalker hasn't been in a Star Wars movie in my lifetime yet, so, you know.
That is true. That's true. That's weird.
Really? It's like, hey.
It's weird.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, Return of the King, but it, 3 years like before I was born.
Yeah,
it's like, I don't know. Yeah, so it was nice. I still don't think it, like, I don't know, holds a candle's heart, but I would still take any of the original three over this.
Sure. Again, you're dealing with 40 years of nostalgia, which
is
a little hard to conquer.
Sure, for sure.
Boy, I mean, it's funny. I think about this now because my kids like Star Wars as much as a 2.5-year-old can. And they'll ask sometimes to go to either watch Force Awakens or the Darth Vader one, as they call it, New Hope, because Darth Vader's in it. But especially when you're watching it with kids like that young, you could, you know, you put on Force Awakens and it's, there's BB-8 and here's some ships and explosions and stuff's happening. And you put on New Hope and it's like, yeah, these ships are moving slowly across the screen shooting each other, and some stormtroopers show up and they shoot, and then there's a lot of talking. And talking.
See?
And like, I'm into it.
Yeah, I like the talking. Because
I've been watching that my whole life.
In fact,
but, you know, 2.5-year-olds, they start to check out and like throughout the movie, they're in and out. But Force Awakens, they sit on the couch and they watch it.
That's just kind of a thing about the way movies. See, I still like it, maybe even that first act, because the first act there was a lot of action sequences, and there was a part of me I was like, I could have used a little bit more slower talky stuff at this point. Like, you never had anything quite like the Force Awakens scene, where it's just kind of a long scene of Rey scavenging.
Mm-hmm. True.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of what I mean, where I think Force Awakens was maybe the better paced movie.
Yeah, I can understand that.
If that makes sense. All right. I think I said my piece on that movie.
Yeah, I really liked it. I really liked it.
I liked it. I don't know if I really liked it.
I really liked it.
It was better than
Rogue One. I will be seeing it probably at least two more times before the year's
over. I'll see it again.
Gotta go that IMAX 3D.
What do you think about this Disney Fox deal?
Oh, my greatest hope of the whole thing is that we finally get an original trilogy theatrical release. That was kind of one of the last hurdles, I feel like, with the Fox ownership of A New Hope. Yeah.
It is funny how, like, I love Disney, and I like the movie things, but even I'm kind of like, all right, Disney, calm down. Like, this might, it's getting to the point where this might be, like, I think if this one goes through, like, if the whatever allows it, whoever has to allow it, I do think after this point, it's like, okay, Disney shouldn't be able to own more things.
You own all the things.
You've got enough
it's
now.
It's funny, because, like, everyone talked about the obvious things, like the Star Wars thing I mentioned, obviously X-Men and Deadpool, but then, like, you start thinking about it, you're like, wait a minute. The Simpsons.
They own Family Guy. They own Home Alone.
Yeah, like you start this kind is of like going random down the rabbit little hole. Also,
Ice Age. They own Ice Age. Is Ice Age right?
Right.
Yeah, it's bizarre. It's kind of weird to think about sometimes. Uh-huh. And it's weird. Like, that's the question. Like, is this stuff actually just literally get incorporated into it? Is something just kind of like leave to the side? Maybe they'll distribute it.
No, the idea is that because they're launching their streaming service next year.
Yeah.
Well, now you got all this shit. Like, imagine, well, not only do you get every Disney movie, you get every episode of The Simpsons.
Well, that's not what I mean. I mean, like, it's like, does Home Alone references, like, start going to the parks,
No, I don't think you, because they didn't make this stuff.
See, that's what I'm, they didn't make Star Wars either.
Hey, but they're making it now. Mm-hmm. If they make, like, an actual Home Alone 3 and they, like, cast Macaulay Culkin as an adult to be in it, then sure. Then you can put that in the park.
I guess so. All right.
They might actually do that.
No, they're not going to do it. I don't think Disney's going to give any chances there to Macaulay Culkin in 2018.
He's ready to come back, man.
Yeah, is he?
He's ready. He is. He told me so.
Oh, your buds.
Yes.
So what else is going on?
You want to talk about kobolds and catacombs?
Sure. I mean, I've mostly just been doing dungeon runs, honestly. I haven't even been playing the standard too much.
I have been. Here's my thing with dungeon. It's fun.
It's super fun, but it's not. You don't get anything.
You don't get anything.
You get some packs in the beginning.
Yeah, you get those pretty quick. I mean, you want to try to be with all nine, I guess, eventually get the card back. But, like, the other fundamental problem I have with it is, like, the first four fights are too easy. So it's almost like, I just got to get through these ones to get, like, to the actual challenge that comes in the middle. And then the impossible odds that just depend on you getting lucky at the end.
Well, a little lucky, but I mean, there's some smart decision making. Like, I am, like, noticeably better at it right now.
No, I agree. But,
like, my first win took me a while, then my second one came pretty quickly after that.
I think you start to learn, like, kind of what are, like, the cheese options, so to speak.
Like, you see, there's, like, a competition where, like, where everyone, like, it's, like, some of the streamers are going to, like, do dungeon runs to see, like, how many attempts it would take them to beat all nine, and Trump did it just 9 out of 9.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Immediately, so, pretty cool.
That's cool.
But yeah, I like the mode a lot. I kind of hope that they can kind of further extrapolate on that. But I do agree, it's like, even if they just give you like 10 gold for winning one, yeah, something.
I mean, I beat it the first time and like literally nothing happens.
Like, I wonder if they're just like afraid about like people setting up bots to like automatically beat these things, just farm gold. I don't know. But if you could do that on the standard mode anyways.
Yeah, we have a quest to just play a bunch of minions. You don't have to win.
Yeah, it would have been nice.
Yeah, first. I mean, like I said, I beat it with the Warlock, and I was like, I wonder what happens when you beat it. Literally, like King Togwaggle, whatever his name is, just goes like, you know, take candle, and the end. Like, it's like, oh, okay.
It is a little anticlimactic.
Yeah, it's very anticlimactic. I'm just surprised they didn't kind of wonder like about how they're going to handle that.
Have you been playing standard mode?
Yeah. So, I made the Spell Hunter. Which is far more viable than I think anyone would have thought.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not going to be top tier,
but it's fun.
It's fun.
You can win that. Yeah, you can win with it, and it's kind of fun.
It's very fun. I'm playing around with a like a elemental shaman deal.
It seems like shaman's in a rough state right now.
No, it's not too bad. So I got the weapon for shaman, so I put that in there. And
that weapon's awful, though.
No, it's not. Here's why. Here's why it's not like as awful as everyone thinks. Because the idea is, so you equip this weapon, when you attack with it, you discover a random spell, cast it.
I get it. You want to cast the ones that, like, just automatically attack enemies.
Yeah, because most shaman spells don't have a target. So, I was playing it earlier today, and I had, like, a decent board up, and the guy had, like, 16 health, and I attacked with weapon, and Bloodlust came. And I was like, oh, sweet, I won. Yeah. Like, you know, stuff like that is good.
I guess the reason I'm skeptical on Shaman is last expansion, they try to push this very specific freeze thing, which was not good. No. And then this expansion, a lot of the cards are around this, like, summon all the basic totems mechanic. And, like, your reward for doing that is that you summon that that one legendary minion who's like, okay.
I have that. I have, well...
Well, no one does. But that's my point, is that they put so much cards into that.
Well, they also put a lot of cards into Overload again, which I think is good, because that's, like, a good class
mechanic. But there's not as much, like, synergy with Overload anymore, with no Tunnel Trog and stuff.
No, but, well, no, the
The unlocking one still exists?
Yeah, the what do they call those cards?
The ones that unlock your empty mana crystals?
No. Every class has one. This three times.
The Spellstone.
So yeah, whatever they're called. That's the shaman condition is overloading to upgrade yours.
That's the nice thing. That's what makes that Spell Hunter deck viable, is that they maybe have the easiest Spellstone to...
And the most...
You just pay one secret.
Even if you didn't upgrade it at all, getting 2 3-3s for five isn't awful.
It's pretty easy to upgrade it. Like, if you get that in my... If I get that in my starting hand, I usually just keep it. If you play that on turn 4 or turn 5, it's pretty good.
I'm starting to mess around with Big Priest a little bit. I don't have quite the cards for it.
I want to make that big Spell Mage, where it's just... focus on casting these expensive spells. That was kind of fun.
I don't have the cards for that either.
I am still curious to see if the meta is going to kind of devolve into the typical patches and Prince
Kalsef.
Kalsef patches decks. There is still a part of me that looks a little bit ahead of this in the expansion, because I look so forward to that cycle reset.
Yeah, well, like, when patches is gone, the game's going to completely change.
No patches.
That's going to be
no
a huge
jades,
change.
No Razakis.
Yeah.
Or Kazakis or Raza. So that's why Journey to Angora was one of the reasons I had so much fun, because there was also that change. Yeah. That's the problem with the third expansion here, is that it
doesn't shake up the meta quite as much.
Well, not necessarily that it can. It's just that there's so many cards, and Mystery of the Gadget was a whole nother thing because it was awful.
Yeah,
it was the worst expansion they ever had, because like the archetypes were either like too strong or just stupid, like Hand Buff Paladin.
Right. Well, and what's interesting about this expansion is, aside from Spell Hunter, it doesn't really create any new archetypes. It just kind of reinforces old one.
Spell Mage is a new archetype.
Kind of.
No, it's a completely new archetype. All right. It's very different from like Freeze Mage or Element or like the Elemental Mage that they're doing for. Although I think Frostless Genius still fits into that deck just fine. But yeah, I know what you mean. There aren't a ton, maybe. But yeah, we'll see. Again, I haven't really been playing the standard one too much. I finally checked out Hellblade, Senua's Sacrifice.
Have you
played it at all?
No.
It's really neat.
It's supposed to look real good.
It looks real good. The thing I like about it is, usually when I play games, I'll just turn the subtitles on, whatever. Like, the whole kind of thing of this game is that Senua's, I feel like insensitive in 2017 saying she's crazy, but she's got voices in her head. There's like a bunch of them, and it is a game you should listen to like 3D audio on with headphones, so like you kind of get that effect, which is neat. like the storytelling is really cool. It's very pretty. The gameplay is a little trite. Like the combat's very pretty simple. Like dodge, parry, hit with the sword. It looks really neat.
Yeah.
Like the puzzles, same kind of thing. They're a little simple, but it's kind of interesting to play through it anyway. Just because of kind of the neat stuff.
That's you beat it yet?
No, I think I'm about a third of the way through. I'm like kind of at this point where if there's any game I haven't like played that maybe should be game of the year-y consideration-ish. I'm trying to play at least a little bit of it. Like basically the other two ones I really want to do is Wolfenstein 2 still. And then I wanted to actually try that What Remains of Edith Finch because everyone else on my site seems to like that. Go ahead. I got one though when you're done.
Okay. I started I'm halfway through the campaign for Injustice 2.
Oh yeah. It's
a little late to it, but
that's fun stuff.
Oh, it's so good. It's real good. It looks incredible. Another
Realm was great with that stuff.
Especially on the 1X and 4K HDR. Very nice. Very nice. It's just funny because granted, I haven't seen Justice League, but I've read about Justice League.
Yeah, it came out.
And you just get the sense that this is more entertaining and a better story than what they did with Justice League. It's weird because, vague spoiler for Injustice 1, I guess, coming up. It's set in the alternate universe that's created in the first Injustice.
Right, it doesn't have like the original people this time
around. Right, it's all the bad Superman and everything. And that's kind of where it's, where it is. So we're just in that, that's the Injustice universe now. So it's cool because, you have some conflict built in there with the heroes, so it makes sense.
Yeah, it's neat. So, after years of trying, I finally managed to beat Mega Man 3 without dying a single time.
You did it, and the heavens opened.
Oh, it was a big deal. Well, because I was having friends coming over, and I was just kind of bored. So, I've been trying to do this for a while. I actually haven't made an attempt at it for a bit. Usually I play it on my 3DS, and I was just kind of sitting there on my couch. I didn't want to get up. Like, what can I play on my Xbox One X right now? And I have that Mega Man Legacy Collection on it. And I was like, all right, I'll start Mega Man 3. And, I almost felt like there's a little input lag. I almost stopped after the first level. I was like, yeah, let's just do it. Wait till they get here. And I'm like, a lot of the hard parts where I usually die are at the beginning of the game. I kind of got through them. I was like, oh, wow, I didn't die. I was kind of halfway through when I first got here. Like, that's fine if I keep doing this before dying. And the one kind of understood, I've been trying to do this. The other one was like, what? It's just, on her phone, confused. But then I got to it. I was like, ah.
I'll see the witnesses for this.
Yeah. That's exciting. There's videos and stuff. And then I've had a bottle of Dom Perignon from...
You drank the Dom without me?
Oh, yeah.
You son of a bitch!
Well, you weren't here when I beat Mega Man 3!
Well, you didn't tell me you were gonna open the bottle of Dom, I would've come over!
Yeah, well, it was about to go bad, but,
How was it?
Vintage 1992. Oh, it was quite good!
Oh, you son of a bitch!
Well, the occasion came.
Ugh! You're the worst.
It was pretty good. It's fun stuff. I then drank too much after that because I was excited and had a horrible hangover all day yesterday. So that was fun. But, yeah. I'm pretty good at Mega Man.
One more gaming thing we should talk about. Destiny 2. Yeah. The expansion. The story was fine.
Sure.
The issue I have with the story and then the adventures they have you do after, you keep going into the Infinite Forest.
It's the same thing.
Yeah, it's it's not randomly generated, but it sure feels like it. It feels like it's being randomly generated.
The problem with Destiny, this series, is always going to be that they want to make the super high-end, very pretty stuff, but it's just so hard to make enough content for that kind of a game to be an MMO.
Well, and I feel like this was the opposite, though. It was kind of simple. Going to the fort, it's just cubes with some foliage on it. This wasn't anything fancy.
Well, I think that's why they're trying to, get away with it. But that's what's strange is, even... It's they just can't make the meaningful content. And that's why it is kind of bizarre. I think about, the expansion's coming out, a few months after the game releases? Well, that's what an expansion that comes out a few months after. Yeah. That's what it looks like. But at the same time, there had to be something, because everybody had already, beaten the raid and done everything,
I like the stuff that happened when you got through that part, when you got through the portal on the other side, and then, you got, to, the boss or whatever. That was all good. It just felt like a lot of filler.
One of them literally took you through one of the original strikes.
You just did a strike. And I was and then the strike that we did was just the mission.
Oh, both of them are just the story missions.
Yeah, but like with some new voiceover. It's like, really? That's the strike? Okay.
Yeah. I guess. Yeah. It's weird. It's I like Destiny, but man, is it flawed.
Yeah. But I can't stop playing anything. Well, that's what kind of annoys me.
Well, the shooting is still well. It's the nice thing about it being like I kind of know. Like, look, I don't need to play as a ton. If I played enough to basically do the weekly milestones, mm-hmm. it's enough to get my gear better and whatnot.
So let's talk about how they fucked up all the power levels with the raid.
Oh, that whole thing.
Well, because here's why it's dumb. So the expansion comes out, and so the raid used to be what 260 and 300. For regular and prestige.
Something like that.
Then they upped it to regular is now 300 and the prestige is 330, which meant if you didn't own the DLC, you couldn't do the prestige raid. And I guess the complaint was there's a trophy for that, so now we can't get all the trophies. Okay, fine. So instead of just doing the thing that to me makes sense, be like, well, we'll turn the 260 version back on too and call 300 prestige and then call this super prestige. They're just, okay, well, let's put it back the way it was. Okay, cool. Well, now I bought the expansion, and the raid's pointless to me.
The whole, yeah, they don't really have much of an ability to fix things sensibly or quickly. I thought the Prometheus lens thing was ridiculous. Some people were, like, trying to turn it like, haha, this is kind of goofy fun. I thought it was awful.
The best they could have done with that by making it available to everyone.
Like, I think the best they could have done was to fix the weapon.
Yeah, I like, too, like, the patch notes for 2 is kind of like, given the short amount of time, we can't really fix it yet, so we just nerfed it to uselessness, and we'll fix it later. It's like, just find a number where people don't die instantly, but don't take too long. Like, I don't know, like, don't you play test?
I mean, there weren't, look, they didn't introduce that many new weapons in the game. Like, you didn't, like, spend the era, let's all play with the Prometheus lens now.
See what happens.
Oh, wait, people are dying in a second. I don't know.
Like, in the too old for this Slack, we had a conversation about it. I think it was Zach who said this. It's like, they have got to have one of the most vocal fan communities out there who say, Bungie, this is what we want.
Yeah. Like, it can't be hard.
They say, hey, we want left, and Bungie goes, hey, have some right.
Yeah.
Like, it's just...
And they're like, if you like, oh.
Yeah, it's just, it's such a weird situation. I don't know how they make these odd mistakes like this so much.
You do wonder, because, you know, at this point, I pretty much expect that next expansion to be... kind of like Curse of Osiris.
Well, it's part of the same season pass. I mean, isn't... I, on the one hand, yeah, I guess, like, everyone ran out of stuff to do, but at the same time, like, the game just came out not even 3 months ago. Less if you got it on PC. I feel like it's too fast for, like, an expansion.
Oh, well, that's the problem. Yeah, but, I mean, again, there wasn't quite enough there in the beginning, so there's gotta be something. So, I don't know. And how many... When does this next expansion come out?
I think May?
May.
Yeah, and then I think we're supposed to get something in September. Oh. Like, a big drop in September. Like, a Taken King-style thing.
What they have right now is not going to last till May.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, I guess, like, now, like, the holiday event's going on?
We'll see. I don't know.
I don't know. It's all weird.
All right, well...
You know what we didn't talk about?
Hmm.
The Zestros.
Oh. Oh, gosh, I don't have time to do that. It's great.
Yeah, it's super phenomenal. Fun. It's one of the best movies ever, so yeah. Go see it. We also never talk about Coco.
Coco's super great, too.
Yeah. A lot of good movies coming out lately, huh?
All right, well, thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast, everybody. You can find more of us at evpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Be sure to go to the Apple Podcasts, Google Play. See us there. And, yeah, we'll see you next week right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
Bye-bye.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.